It's time to start your fun day with an hour of the Gigi Brown Experience.
Sunday morning brings the dawn in.
She's thinking of, and she told me what to say. She said she loves you, and you know that can't be bad. Yes, she loves you, and you know you should be glad. She said you hurt her so, she almost lost her mind. But now she says she knows you're not the you know you should be glad. With a love like that, you know you should be glad.
All right, good morning, Montreal, and welcome back to the Gigi Brown Experience. I'm so happy to be back. Last week I was away, I was at a conference, but this week it is my big thank you episode because we managed to raise here at CJLO, we hit our goal of $15,000 during the funding drive, which is absolutely, like, it's just like incredible. I think that's the most we've raised ever. So I'm very, very happy about that. So thank you so much. This is my thank you episode. So for those of you who reached out and proved that you donated, you guys got to choose songs. So that's what I'm going to play. And then in the second half, I have a surprise. I recently sat down and talked to Out by Lucy, this band out of Ottawa. I saw them at La Sotoreño. They opened for Mellow Casualty and the Wesleys, and they were just incredible. They blew me away. So I had to have them on the show. And I figured it was a great thank you for everyone and all my listeners. So without further ado, there's a lot to get done today. So I'm going to get into the first thank you. So this is going out to Amelia B and Sarah and Mark. Thank you so much for donating. And then the last song is also for Jennifer Serpentin right here in NDG. So this first song is Ouvrez les frontières. And that's for Amelia. So here you go. Enjoy and stay tuned for all the good music my fine listeners have picked out for you guys today. All right. Enjoy the show.
Chaque année, l'été comme l'hiver, et nous on vous reçoit toujours les bras ouverts. Vous êtes ici chez vous, après tout, peu importe. On veut partir alors, ouvrez-nous la porte.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières. Ouvrez les frontières,
ouvrez les frontières. Du Cap à Gibraltar, nous sommes des milliers à vouloir comme vous, venez sans rendez-vous. Nous voulons voyager et aussi travailler, mais nous on vous a pas refusé le visa.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières. Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
s'appelait liberté. On veut que nos familles ne manquent plus de rien. On veut avoir cette vie où l'on mange à sa faim. On veut quitter cette misère quotidienne pour de bon. On veut partir d'ici quand nous sommes tous en train de péter les plans. Oh.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
Ni même une goutte de pluie, tout au fond du puits. Quand le vent très vite sur le chemin de l'école, un beau jour il décide de prendre son envol.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
Sable doré, mille animaux en cage, et battu nos forêts. Qu'est-ce qui nous reste quand on enlève vite? On se prépare au voyage et on se jette dans l'eau vide.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
Laissez-nous passer.
Ouvrez les frontières.
Laissez-nous passer.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
Laissez-nous passer.
Ouvrez les frontières, ouvrez les frontières.
Laissez-nous passer.
Now he's I know I'm not. dream about a lion.
So that last track was Wondering Where the Lions Are by Bruce Cockburn. And that's...
Coburn,
my bad. Anyways, okay, I'm going to read you that. I apologize. I should not be this immature on live radio. That was Wondering Where... Boy, it's early in the morning here. All right, that was Wondering Where the Lions Are. You know what? We're gonna go to Gian's set, and I'll come back. Okay. I got this. This is Wondering Where the Lions Are by Bruce Cockburn, and that's going out to Jennifer Serpina. And before that was Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter, and that's going out. Okay, I wish you guys could see. We're just gonna keep going with the music. Here's Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac.
Coming up.
Okay, and we're back. So we're going to do this in reverse. We're going to start with the last song, like the first song I played, which was Ouvrez les frontières by Tikenja Fakoli. And that is going out to Amelia. After that was Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter, and that's going out to Mark. And it is such a joy in my life to know that Mark adores this song. It makes me very happy. We then heard Wondering Where the Lions Are by Brian Coburn, and that's going out to my mummy here in NDG. And then that last track was Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac, and that was picked out by Gian, and he picked out a few other songs because he donated a lot of money. So here is Wonder by Shawn Mendes.
Speak my truth, or do I feel to how I feel? I wonder, wouldn't it be nice to live inside a world that isn't black and white? I wonder what it's like to be my friends. Hope that they don't think I'll forget about them. I wonder, I wonder. Right before I close my eyes, the only thing that's on my mind, been dreaming that you feel it too. I wonder what it's like to be loved. Something wrong, I never said I was a saint. I wonder, when I cry into my hands, I'm conditioned to feel like it makes me less of a man. And I wonder if someday you'll be by my side and tell me that the world will end up alright. I wonder, I wonder. Right before I close my eyes, the only thing that's on my mind, dreaming that you feel it too.
Take you. Now I can't keep you from loving. baby, I'll treat you right. And I love you like I should have loved you all the time.
Girl, I remember when I held you in. You begged me with your drowning eyes to stay.
Forget me.
Now I regret I didn't tell you.
Now I can't keep you from loving him. You made up your mind. Say I love you, girl, but I'm out of time. Say I'm there for you, but I'm out of time. Say that I care for you, but I'm out of time. Said I'm too late to make you mine. Out of time. Ooh, singing.
Out of time.
Said I had you to myself, but I.
Dare touch that dial, because like the song says, you are out of time. You're almost there, but don't panic. There's still more music to come before you're completely engulfed in the blissful embrace of that little light you see in the distance. Soon you'll be healed, forgiven, and refreshed, free from all trauma, pain, guilt, and shame. You may even forget your own name. But before you dwell in that house forever, here's 30 minutes of easy listening to some slow tracks on 103.5 Dawn FM.
So The Weeknd is plugging a completely different radio. You are tuned into CJLO 1690 AM. But that was The Weeknd, and in before that was Shawn Mendes, two incredible Canadian musicians. And we've got one last track from our listening picks, and then I'm going to go right into the interview with Out by Lucy. But due to the giggle fit, I might not have time to come back. So on the off chance that this is it for my voice today, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for donating. Everyone who did, thank you so much for supporting CJLO and for supporting my show. It means so much. Here is Easier Said Than Done by the Sacred Souls. This is a track off of their debut self-titled album. And I'm going to be very honest. Their biggest single, which is Can I Call You Rose, I was convinced was like this really old like Motown song. And this is actually a very recent band, and they're just incredible. So here is Easier Said Than Done. And then it'll be Out by Lucy, and that's it for me. So here you go. Enjoy.
She said, be honest with how you feel. I said, that's easier said than done. I said, don't worry about the future. That's easier said than done. Well, it is. 'Cause true love, it ain't easy, no. She said, just show me this love is real. I said, that's easier said than done. I said, just trust.
True love, true love, it's Welcome to the show. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourselves for our listeners?
I'm Harry. I sing in the group.
I'm Dom. I'm the bass player slash backup vocalist.
I'm Sam. I play lead guitar and sometimes I sing.
And our drummer, Julian Moreland, is not pleasant. And together we're the band.
That's not pleasant.
He's very pleasant.
No, present.
He's not present. So we're just here. He's here in spirit.
Yeah.
So I saw you guys a couple weeks ago when you came to Montreal and you play the Sauterenia. You opened for Mellow Casualty and the Wesleys, and you guys blew me away. You were so great. So I just had to have you on the show, and I'm so grateful you guys did this. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. That's super kind of you.
So tell me a little bit about the band. How did it all start?
Me and Harrison have been friends since we were very little kids.
He was seven.
I think I was seven, he was eight. And obviously my brother is my brother, so I've known him even longer. Our parents met each other when we were very young, and they kind of forced us together. We were both kind of weirdos, and they just got into it.
It was definitely like they were kind of like, our sons are strange. You have to make them co-mingle.
It was like our dads were growing weed together, and they were
don't
like,
tell them that it's legal now. Yeah, that's the truth of it.
Don't do the math on that one.
Yeah, basically they had a dog named Lucy that we were fans of, and then we named the band after the dog. And that's how we got the name as well. So
what type of dog?
French bulldog.
Very cool.
She was blind in one eye.
Very beautiful dog.
Queen.
Is she still around to see the great band?
She is not, unfortunately.
Well, that's a very nice way to honor the dog, Lucy.
Man's best friend.
And now I've named my van in her honor.
Yeah.
Van
is nice. Lucy. Is that the same van you're going to sleep in Montreal?
That is the van.
I ended up staying with
Good catch.
Henry, I believe, of the Wesleys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, we love Henry.
Absolutely sweet guy.
Very lovely, yes.
Yeah. Him and Linus roommate are like a dynamic duo.
Yeah. Him and his roommate like rolled me a joint and made me some spaghetti and were like tucked me in and everything. It was great.
Is that the spaghetti that was in your van when I was in there the other day?
No, that was a different spaghetti.
Oh, people just give you spaghetti.
Yeah, I've been doing spaghetti and it's in my car usually.
Now, is this your first introduction to playing music?
The funny thing is, like, I think we went into the band not knowing how to play music. At least I did.
Yeah,
pretty much.
We had both kind of been playing instruments, like, in some vague capacity for a couple years. And so
for me and Sam, we just were, like, learning together as we did the band, mm-hmm. and Julian, too. And then Dom, meanwhile, was on his own.
I didn't grow up with these guys.
He's from Ottawa.
Yeah, I'm from Orleans in Ottawa, so they're from more rural towns, and I originally started on saxophone, kind of doing a more school, like normal school music education. And then eventually I learned about Jimi Hendrix and stuff and started learning about rock music.
Very good pipeline to follow. I played the trumpet for 7 years and my dad loves Jimi Hendrix. So he's constantly like, you should. Anyways, yeah.
I was a euphonium player.
Me and him would get on well.
I played bass in high school.
I played pitched percussion as well. Mm-hmm. I got to do the marimbas, which was great.
Back to the concert, I would like some credit because I was with my mom. And I, as you were playing, I was saying, oh my God, these guys like give off a Beatles vibe for like, in a weird way, they totally give off the Beatles. And my mom didn't believe me. And then you guys burst into She Loves by the Beatles. Can I assume you guys are fans and that
absolutely
they are a huge inspiration?
I think that they're hacks. No, we love the Beatles. More than, I think since I was like a little boy, I've been like in love and wanting to be Paul McCartney at the same time. Pretty much was kind of my relationship with that.
Yep.
Yeah. Just, I think definitely the kind of was the air that I breathed for one, like through my childhood. Like my parents are huge fans. I'm named after George Harrison.
We're both named after George Harrison.
Yeah.
His is the middle name, George.
I'm Harrison. So.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he's George Harrison. Yeah.
Very cool. If you had to assign each one of you a member of the Beatles,
who would argue about this.
This is contentious.
Okay, let me hear it. Let me hear the arguments.
Well, because I am John Lennon, but he thinks that he's John Lennon.
Really,
it's hilarious.
Really, the question is just which one are these guys? I'm George Harrison, Julian's Ringo.
Julian's Ringo. Julian the guy who's not here. But it's
we
just,
can't both be John Lennon.
we're stuck between Paul and John. I mean, physically, it's kind of obvious which one either of us fits more into.
I think I'm obviously I look more Paul, but I'm the rhythm guitar player and singer, and he plays bass and sings.
I tend to lean more into a Paul sort of role a lot of the time.
Basically, it's an argument. We have a hard time discerning.
Yeah, we leave it up to the audience.
Do you guys have like a Lennon McCartney vibe when writing songs though?
I feel like sometimes I wish we did.
Yeah. No.
I feel like we'd rarely, I don't think none of us have like written a song together yet. We all just kind of have our own songs we kind of like bring to the band and then the band will like flesh them out.
Yeah.
But we have yet to do like, you know, like one dude or the other, like sitting down, like co-writing. Mm-hmm. We have not done that, but I think that when that happens, I think it'll probably change music.
It will
think.
Probably be the greatest song ever.
Yeah. So we are holding off on that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I cannot wait.
That's although, third album fodder.
Third album.
There you go. I do have to give my congratulations for your album. Maximilian Extraordinarius Super Symposium.
That's correct. That's correct.
Can I just ask, who is Maximilian Extraordinarius?
We're going to... All the lore is going to get explained on the next album.
Okay.
We recorded a song which explains everything, but we're not going to reveal that to the next album, Alvars, which is coming out probably 2026. So.
Okay. So
there's a single on it. It's going to come out. Don't worry.
Okay. So we got to wait for the lore drop?
Yeah. Just I'm going to put you on pause.
I got it. Okay. Switching to the next question then. The first track of the album is called Thinking About Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just ask, how are we feeling after the World Series?
Devastated.
Devastated.
Oh my God. We were playing a show that night.
Oh my God.
With a butt, and like pretty much everyone on the bill was super stoked about the game.
Yeah.
And between sets and after the show, when we're supposed to be unpacking and leaving and everything, every person there was just huddled around one person's, the one guy who had a phone that wasn't dead, and we were all watching it. And then at a certain point, we knew it was done.
Yeah, we were just like,
we all just gave up, even though the game was still going.
I've been dreaming about baseball, honey. I've got a couple dimes, think you got enough, but I've been dreaming about baseball, honey. I've got a couple dimes, think you got enough, but baseball, honey. I've got a couple of dimes, think you got enough, but I've been dreaming about baseball, honey. I've got a couple of dimes, think you got enough, but this thing you do to me. You do, you do, you do, you do. You've got this thing you do to me.
Now, the song itself is not about baseball.
No. It's one of those things where I was just kind of like, I was in a relationship and I was kind of writing about it. And I think I was a younger man. I'm like looking back at those lyrics, I'm like, it'd be crazy to have written that about my girlfriend that I was like seeing at the time. Cause it's very like kind of reflective and negative about the relationship. And I feel like if my girlfriend now were to be reading that, and I'd be like, oh, no. So yeah. So apologies to whomever I wrote that song about.
Is she aware it's about her?
Oh yeah, because I'd sing it to her. She'd be in the crowd. It was awful.
I don't know if I told you this, but I didn't know it wasn't about baseball until like a few months ago.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
someone came up to me and they were like, "Is that song not about baseball?" And I was like, "No, it's about baseball. It's talking about." He's talking about all this stuff that's in baseball. Of course it's about baseball.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully she never caught on.
Another song I really like is Red Sorghum.
Yes.
Which is a pop culture reference. It's like the name of this movie.
It's a. I like the book more, but yeah.
It's a book too?
Yeah, it's a Nobel Prize winning book.
So you guys have multiple songs that are referenced to books. Like you have... On the EP, you have this author's name, and then you have like Francis a web Fukuyama. Comic.
Yeah.
What's the meaning there?
Francis Fukuyama is a Japanese-American political philosopher, and I kind of wanted to write a song about the apocalypse. And the book that he wrote is called The End of History, and it's kind of like a political book about how he wrote it in the 90s and being like, okay, we're wrapping it up here. And I just kind of wanted to write a book. I wanted to write a song about how, you know, the end. That's hokey, and the end of it, and the apocalypse is kind of coming. So that's that song, and so it's kind of like a response. And then Red Sorghum, I'd never read a book as fantastic as it, and I found that like reading the book, it was so lyrical. Like I actually recommended the book to somebody today, which is funny you brought it up. But it's such a fantastic like lyrical book, and it's about China during World War II, and it's so sad and so heartbreaking. And there's like one part where it's basically like multiple generations tell this story of their experiences in the war. And there's this one death in the book that particularly I was just like so sad. And I just had to write a song about it. And I did.
Yeah. It's a great song. So it makes sense that there's that like emotion there.
Red sorghum, come as you are. Come as you are.
And now, who in the band hates George Costanza so much that you wrote a song about him?
Really, we love him.
Yeah, it's kind of a misleading title because I think we're all great fans of the man.
I think that we just see ourselves. I think that that song maybe, like, that refrain to me is like, I'm frustrated almost at myself when I'm yelling at George, you know, because who am I but George Costanza? I think we all see ourselves in him. I think we all do.
A bald and fashionable man who's firmly rooted in the past.
Yeah, that's I'm nothing if I'm not George Costanza.
That's a great answer. Since the album came out in June, how has the reaction been? How has life been?
You know, we kind of like, it was all right. I mean, I think we put out the album and we're just like, you know, took some time away from the band basically and just kind of did our thing and then focused on recording the next one. We did like one tour, but it was just low key.
There was a lot of work leading up to the release. I think by the time it finally came out and we did the release show and all this stuff that comes with it, by that time we were all kind of done with it. And we had already recorded a lot of the next album by that time as well. So a lot of our personal excitement about having those songs out, at least for myself, it was already kind of like, all right,
I've heard them.
This is so last year or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's kind of natural. And like, we've produced all of our own material thus far. So anything that we've put out, we've listened to 8 million times each. So.
Yeah. And then been like, and argued about and like sent between us and been like, is that too loud? Do you think that's too loud? Should we,
Does that cymbal sound too gangy?
You know, we're just very dorky about it for so long that you get to a point where you're like, I could never listen to this again. I'd be quite happy.
But I will listen to it.
But then you do every once in a while. You're like, hey, it's still good, you know?
Yeah. Now, since your EP came out in 2023 and now this album, have you guys seen a change or like a shift in your style?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, because the thing is, Dom kind of joined the band, and I think he changed things a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't on the EP.
Yeah, and I think that as we grew older, I think we kind of got a little tougher in our sound. We got a little louder, and like, the newer material is a little darker, I think.
I think we've kind of lost a bit of our rural twang.
Yeah,
we speak a little more testosterone-fueled rock. At this point, to be honest,
we were very young when we started the band. So, like when we were in high school and Dom wasn't in the group, it was really more of like a folk, almost like a folk rock band kind of thing. Like I'd wear a cowboy hat on stage, and then when we moved to the city, I don't know, something happened.
Something devious.
Yeah. Now we're just raging beacons of testosterone.
as
you can tell.
I think it's because we basically had moved out of my like mom's house. Sam and Julian, the two brothers, like during COVID, there were times when they were kind of like living with me. And that's when we decided we were like, we're going to move out and like do the band thing more.
Did you guys move in together?
Yeah, we moved in together. We moved in together. We all lived together. Us three live together still.
Previously, it was me and Julian and Harrison. And then we moved to this house this year.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's how we do it. We kind of have a commune.
Does that make it easier to collaborate on music, would you say?
You'd think.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, I think living with the band is always tough because it's like, it's like kind of like work from home vibe where it's like, it's difficult to work where you live. And so there'll be times when it's like, okay, band practice. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm still in my house coat.
You guys want to go get a slice?
Yeah, you want to get pizza? Like, what if we go hang out instead? That happens very often.
Are you able to find inspiration, like, at home?
We do like walking around, I think. That was always, when we were younger, we loved to do inspiration walks.
I think as far as, like a warm-up and a means to practice well, it's good to have a clear head. But I think a lot of our inspiration writing is very introverted. It's very...
Very personal.
Very almost. Personal within our minds.
Yeah. We did have a sort of... We kind of retreated to Manitoulin Island to record a bunch of our songs earlier this year. We were really maximizing our zen every day. We'd take a cold plunge in the water.
Meditate.
And then meditate on the rocks.
So, that was incredible. It was blessed.
The workflow was really great. So
I think in 7 or 8 days, we recorded 21 songs with this methodology.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Is that like this album or the next
one? The next
one. Very cool.
Yeah.
Can you give us a teaser for the next album? Like, what's the vibe?
We're calling it Alvars, I think, is the idea.
Yeah.
Alvars is like the biome that we recorded it on, and it's also like, it's the name of a type of like priest as well, is what I found on Google, which I thought was cool.
Yeah. In terms of like the theming, it's a little dark. It's darker than the first one for sure.
Dreams, I just can't believe. For a little while longer, just a little while longer, I can't trust my eyes now.
Montrealer, I am very happy whenever a band comes and then just like praises our city. When you're in Montreal, is there a go-to spot for you guys to visit while you're in town?
There's the Tim Hortons,
yeah,
and the gas station. Which one is it?
Oh, Saint Laurent and what's that? Oh, Sherbrooke.
Yeah, that's Saint Laurent, that's Sherbrooke, the Tim Hortons gas station. We go there
and the Green Tea around the corner.
Yeah,
we did notice the Tim Hortons cup on the stage.
Iconic.
I was really loving the Tim Hortons that day.
I've said for a long time, touring, really the main objective is to go to as many Tim Hortons as you can.
Yeah.
On your trip. And then the more Tim Hortons you go to, the more Tim Hortons you have to go to because you got to pee.
On average, how many Tim Hortons do you think you hit up on a tour?
We said 3 a day.
Yeah, and somewhere around 21.
Yeah.
We all have scurvy,
yeah,
and the gout, but
yeah, unfortunately, at the end of a tour, usually like there's a period of time when we all just like have to recover physically because we live terribly on the road. Like we're just crammed in a van and we just eat like greasy food and sleep on the floor. And then when we get back, it's like, okay, I got to go to the gym or something. I have to eat an acai bowl.
Okay, my final question. Do you guys have anything to disprove the Ottawa is boring idea?
We're great.
Yeah, out by Lucy.
Yeah, you can see our band. And you know what? I would say we have great cross-country skiing here.
Yeah.
So if you want to go cross-country skiing, it's wonderful.
I will say the only draw for Ottawa for me is that it's the quaintest city of a million people.
It's very
you're
quaint.
Ever gonna find.
Maybe it is boring. Maybe that's fine. Maybe it's part of its charm.
Where would you tell people to go to see a good show?
The Rainbow.
The Rainbow, yeah. To see us. Yeah. See, yeah. It's whatever, go on our Instagram page, and then there's something to do in Ottawa.
Or like catch a touring band at the Bronson Center.
Yeah, the Bronson Center is cool.
Thank you again for doing this. I can't wait for the new album. And yeah, if you're ever back in Montreal, I'd love to see you.
Fantastic.
See you there.
Thanks. Thank you for having us.